You're listening to a special Easter edition of the Sunday, Sunday, Sunday podcast, a reflection of the upcoming Sunday Catholic Mass readings. And now your host, the Bible geek, Mark Hart.
Alleluia, 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 alleluia. Second Sunday of Easter, Divine Mercy Sunday. My brothers and my sisters, I hope you had a blessed Easter. But don't forget, this is not just a day and not just an octave. Easter is a season. And this week we're taking a look at the second Sunday of Easter, otherwise known as Divine Mercy Sunday. Our first reading from Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. We're going to be spending a few weeks here. The Acts of the Apostles are a great gem in the New Testament, so I hope you read them and enter in. Acts chapter 5, verses 12 through 16. Our psalm response, Psalm 118, verses 2 through 4, verses 13 to 15, and verses 22 to 24. Our second reading from St. John's Book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, and then verses 17 to 19. And our gospel from St. John, chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. Divine Mercy Sunday. You'll be hearing a lot about the word mercy this week, most likely, no matter where in the world you are listening to this, no matter where in the world you worship. And mercy is an important thing. Obviously, I mean, in every single Mass, we're not only beginning and beseeching the Lord for mercy, we're looking for it. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. I mean, from the very beginning to the very end, we are always constantly in need of God's divine mercy. What a great reminder during the Easter season that God gives this mercy freely, okay? It's divine favor. It's divine pity, really. It is love. And it's given to us even before we ask for it, oftentimes. But we do need to ask for it, not only on our own behalf, but on others' behalf. And this week, when you read through these readings, it's important to understand and to remember this theme of mercy. When you go to the gospel, and this is a famous gospel story, this is the one of doubting Thomas. You know, Thomas wasn't there when the Lord originally showed up, and all of a sudden now the Lord makes another appearance. And this time Thomas is in the room, and he says, "Only when I put my finger in his side and his wounds will I believe." And when the Lord shows up, Thomas falls on his knees and says, "My Lord and my God, I do believe." That is a tremendous amount of mercy, that second chance. Think about that. Think about if the Lord had not given Thomas that chance, if he had not shown up again and appeared again, how Thomas would have felt, how Thomas would have moved through his life for the rest of his life. But out of mercy, out of Christ's mercy, he did appear again so that Thomas would not be unbelieving, but would believe. And he reminds us, how blessed are those who have not seen and have believed. How blessed are those who did not have that opportunity in the upper room, but have believed anyway. My brothers and my sisters, how blessed are you that even though you did not walk side by side with Jesus each day in the Holy Land, even though I did not walk side by side with him, that 2,000 years later, through the gift of the church, that we can still have an intimate relationship with God through the sacraments. How blessed are we? In the first reading, it says, many signs and wonders were done among the people in the hands of the apostles. It says they actually even brought people out just so when Peter walked by, just so his shadow could fall on him. And you hear there's amazing healings and these amazing miracles. And again, sometimes when we hear about those miracles, we think, oh, you know, they're performing miracles because that's how God's going to grow the church. God didn't perform these miracles. The Spirit didn't perform these miracles through the hands of the apostles just to grow the church, although it does say that many of them came to believe, that many believers and great numbers of men and women were added to the church. The purpose of the miracle was not to grow the numbers of the church. It was to proclaim God's glory. And you see, when the apostles were seeking God's glory and not their own glory, the church grew. And things haven't changed. When pastors, when people who work in ministry, when they proclaim God's glory, when God's glory is the goal, the church grows. And we saw that at the Easter Vigil. And when we try to proclaim our own glory, the church doesn't grow because we're drawing people to ourselves. So it's important, again, to remember that they weren't working these miracles for the purpose of trying to grow the church, that it was God's mercy. That's why he desires healings. That's why he wants to restore people to full community and to full health. That God is a merciful God. His heart is filled with mercy. And he's faithful. And that's what we proclaim in the psalm this week, is God's faithfulness, is that it endures forever, that no matter what happens, when things are coming against us and when we're falling, that God is faithful. He's our strength. He's our courage. And that takes mercy too. And then finally, the book of Revelation. Now, obviously, this scares a lot of people. And when you read Revelation, it can be kind of confusing. But what you have to understand, what I have to remember, is that Revelation is not just about the end times. It really is about God's mercy. When you read Revelation and you study it, what you find is that God is consistently and constantly giving people chance after chance after chance to turn their hearts to Him, chance after chance to proclaim His greatness, to proclaim His glory. And even during the judgments of Revelation, God continues to give people the opportunity to turn their hearts back to Him, to turn their lives back to Him. And that, my brothers and my sisters, is mercy, because Revelation is not about death. It's about life and the chance for life. So while miracles are really exciting and very alluring, and truth is very attractive, and the gospel is very inspiring, it still requires God's mercy. Miracles are alluring. Truth is attractive, and the gospel is inspiring. So the question is, why are there so many fewer people at church the week after Easter than on Easter Sunday? The Mass has miracles. The Mass has truth. The gospel. The Mass has all three. My brothers and my sisters, we need to pray for God's mercy in our own lives and for all those we know, and ask that He continually will pour out that favor on us and think more of us than we think of ourselves, and think more of us than we think of Him. May God bless you this week.
This podcast is brought to you by your friends at lifeteen.com.